I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is indeed very, very wonderful to see all of you here in the house of the Lord. Instead of your spending time preparing to watch the fireworks, you are here this evening to worship the Lord. And it is really very, very wonderful to realize that there are people who see the importance of coming together to search their hearts at the close of the year and then rededicate themselves unto the Lord. And if you have not dedicated yourselves unto the Lord before, this evening may the Holy Spirit work in your hearts so that you will be willing to say, Lord, I am very, very prepared to serve you. And in the year 2011, I want to give myself completely to you for your service. Now this evening, the subject is climbing the stairs, climbing the stairs. But actually, I'm only interested in the word stair, S-T-A-I-R, and not stairs. I'm interested in the acronym stair. I will come to the acronym afterward. End of the year is a time of reckoning. It is a time at which we usually would give an account. For the CEO, the chief of a company, it is a time to give a financial report to the shareholders. Now, if the company has done well, of course, the CEO will be very much rewarded. He will be given bonuses, and I do not know whether it's fashionable today to give share options or not, but I know in time past, share options were also given. But if the company that this person is the head of had not done well, then it will be a sad time for him because he might be removed from his job. Now, an employee at the end of the year will also have to give an account of his performance, whether he had done well or he had not done well. He has to present his boss his performance of the year. He has to give a report of his performance. And of course, if he has done well, then it will be reward for him. He will be praised, he will be commended, and given a salary increase, and given a big bonus, and perhaps promotional opportunities also. Now, for a student, it is also a time of reckoning. The student has to show his report card to his parents, and if the student has done well, of course, praises, commendations, rewards will be given to the student. But if he has not done well, then it will be a reprimand for the student, and for the new year, he might be grounded for certain activities that caused him to waste time in the previous year. Now, as we come to the last night of the year, the last few hours of the year, it is very, very wise if we were to sit back and make a review of what we had done for the Lord in the past year. Don't you think so? Very, very important, wise of us to sit back and review what we had done for Him. Now, as we make this review, let us not forget that one day there is going to be a bigger review, a more important review. We shall have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of what we had done for Him while we were living on this earth. And so we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 9 and 10, I'd like us to look at these two verses. We shall have to stand before Him, before the judgment seat of Christ, to give an account of what we did for Him. Please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 9 and 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verses 9 and 10. I read for you these two verses. Wherefore, we labor, Paul says, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. All of us, my dear friends, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, will have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of what we did for Him. But unbelievers, of course, will not have the privilege of standing before the judgment seat of Christ. They will have to stand before the great white throne of God someday. And they will be judged as sinners, and then they will be condemned forever and ever and sent to the lake of fire finally. Believers will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And assessment will be made of the works that we had done for Him. Now, He is an all-knowing God. Everything that we did for Him will be as clear as daylight to Him. Now, in the course of our lifetime, we might have appeared to be serving the Lord. But in actual fact, we could be very, very self-serving in our service. We were not interested in glorifying the name of the Lord. We were more interested in glorifying our own name. Now, did not the Lord know that we were glorifying ourselves and not glorifying Him? Of course He knew. And will He have known that all that we did while we were on earth, we did for our self-glory and not for His glory? Will He not have known? Of course He will have known. And our works will be assessed, whether they be wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, or precious stones. I'd like us to turn to 1 Corinthians and look at chapter 3, verses 12 to 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 to 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 to 15. Verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation is the foundation of Jesus Christ. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If every man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, if our works that we present to the Lord are wood, hay, and stubble, they will not remain, they will not last, they will be burnt up. Only works that are gold, silver, and precious stones will stand the test. And what are works that are made up of gold, silver, and precious stones? They are, of course, works done that are glorifying to the Lord or were glorifying to the Lord. Those will be works that will be seen as gold, silver, and precious stones. Now, in the parable that we read earlier on, we read about this steward who had wasted the goods of his master, and then he was hauled up by the master to give an account of what he did. I'd like us to look at that passage that we just read in that program sheet. Yes, Luke chapter 16, and then verse 1. And Jesus said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Yes, he could no longer be steward because he had wasted the goods of his master. Now, having heard of his dismissal, what did this steward do? He didn't sit down and do nothing, but he did something that was very worldly wise. He reduced the debts of the debtors of his master. See what he did? Look at verse 3. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig, meaning to say I am not able to do any manual work. To beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. In other words, reduce your debts by 50%. Verse 7. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and write 80. In other words, reduce your debt by 20%. Now, why did he do what he did? it was so that when he was kicked out of the master service, kicked out of the master's home, he might have another home to go to. Yes, the home of the debtors to whom he had done the very special favor of having the debts reduced. And the master commended him for his wisdom. The Lord Jesus Christ says this in verse 8. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world, these are words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He made this comment. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Now let us be careful that we not read into this passage things that are not there. The Lord did not praise him for wasting his master's goods. No, he did not, because he had already sacked him. So he was not praising him for wasting his goods. Yes, neither did he praise him for reducing the debts that were owing to him. Now what the master commended the steward for was the fact that this steward was very worldly wise. He was making preparation for his future, that when he was thrown out of his master's house, he would have another house to go to. Yes, perhaps the debtors of his master, for whom he had done the favor of reducing their debts, would receive him into their homes. So the Lord Jesus Christ says this, the children of this world are wiser in their relationship to the worldly matters than the children of light to things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now as we come to the close of the year, we must ask ourselves this question, how wise have we been in the eyes of the Lord? We must ask this question at the close of the year. How wise have we been in the eyes of the Lord? Do we ask ourselves that question? Is it needful that we ask ourselves this question? Yes, very needful indeed. Because we know that there is going to be a judgment ahead of us. One day, as we said, all of us here who profess to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of what we did for Him. Now today, even if it was just to give an account to our boss at the end of the year, I'm sure we are filled with a certain amount of trepidation, isn't it true? Even though the boss could be very friendly to us, we know the boss very well. But if we have to give an account to the boss, there is a certain amount of trepidation in our hearts. Now what if the boss is one who is very austere and very, very strict? Of course, there will be greater fear in us. Now don't forget, my dear friends, one day we will be brought before the judgment seat of Christ, one who knows everything and everything and everything about us, and we shall have to give an account to Him. How ready, my dear friends, are we to make that account before Him? Are we preparing today, to make that presentation to Him with regards to our performance? It is good at the end of the year for us to take stock of with regards to how we have been progressing in the preparation that we are making. And I trust we are indeed making preparation for that day of judgment. Now we must take stock of the kind of progress that we are making. So I'd like us to consider the acronym STAIR, S-T-A-I-R. Now let us climb higher on the stairs of stewardship. Let our service for Him be improving by the year, every year better than the year before. Now first of all, let us consider the first letter, the letter S, our stewardship. Now let us be very, very clear that all of us have been appointed as stewards by the Lord. All! If you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a steward, favored by Him to be regarded as a steward by Him. And God's word is clear. We are not our own, we belong to Him. Yes, it is absolutely true that we do not belong to ourselves. We are not our own because we have been purchased by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. The Apostle Paul asks, What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own, for ye are bought with a price, bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are not our own. We don't own ourselves. He owns us. He purchased us with his precious blood. And even before he purchased us with his precious blood, let us understand that in truth we belong to him, because he created us. He created the whole wide universe, and he created us. We belong to him. But we sinned against him and we separated ourselves from him. But he very, very graciously bought us back unto himself by his precious blood. He owns us, which means all the things that belong to us belong to him also. Our time, our money, our ability, our talents, our energy, our possessions all belong to him. We must necessarily not see ourselves as owners, but see ourselves as stewards. Now, in this matter of giving, yes, in the matter of giving, how do we see ourselves? Do we see ourselves as stewards, or do we see ourselves as owners? You remember the incident that took place in the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ while he ministered on this earth. There was this day when he went into the temple of Jerusalem, and he saw people putting money into the temple treasury. The rich people came and they put in lots of money because they were rich. They were giving out of their big substances. And then came this poor widow. She gave her two mites. And you know what the Lord Jesus Christ said? The Lord Jesus said, this poor widow gave more than all the rest did. Why? Because she had only two mites and she gave her two mites. Now, who was a more faithful servant? Who was a more faithful steward? Do you think it was the rich people who were more faithful as stewards, or this widow with her two mites who gave her two mites? And who was more likely to think of themselves as people who do not own the things that they have? Who? Surely it was the widow who gave her two mites. At least that was the case. That was how the Lord saw her. Yes, a very faithful steward. It happened one time after a pastor preached his message on giving, and it was giving to a very worthy cause, that a certain lady came up to him and wrote a check, $50, and she gave the check to the pastor, and she asked, is it satisfactory? And the pastor said, if it represents you, it is satisfactory. This lady did some self-examination and decided to take the check back. She went home. A few days later, she came back, and this time she wrote a check of $500. She gave it to the pastor. She said, is it satisfactory? And the pastor said the same thing. If it represents you, it is. She thought for a while, and she decided to take the $500 check back to herself. Then at the close of the week, she came and saw the pastor again. And this time she wrote a check of $50,000. And she said, after earnest prayerful thought, I have come to this conclusion that this gift that I'm presenting today represents me. You see, when she presented that $50,000 check, she saw herself not as an owner of her money, but she saw herself as a steward or a stewardess of the money that the Lord gave her. So I ask you, my dear friends, and ask myself also, what do we see ourselves as? Owners or stewards? On the day when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, my dear friends, will the Lord see us as stewards of the manifold blessings that he had given to us, or will he see us as owners of those blessings that he gave to us? I trust, my dear friends, on that day, he will see us as stewards, and not just stewards, but faithful stewards. Now, one common talent the Lord gives to all of us is this thing called time. I'm coming to the second letter now. Stare. Time. Time is a common talent that the Lord has given to each one of us. And each one of us is given 24 hours every day. 24 hours every day. How good a steward have we been with regards to the use of our time? Today, if the Lord were to assess us, would he say to us, "Oh, you have been using your time very wisely"? Or would he be saying to us, "Oh, you have been wasting your time," just as that master said to his servant, "You have wasted all my goods"? My dear friends, have we been using our time very, very wisely, or have we been wasting our time? Now, I believe I shared this with you some 5 years ago, and some 3 years ago I shared with you this chart. But I thought it good to reproduce this chart. If you look at the chart on page 3, yes, it is a chart that represents the usage of time by a typical American who lives for 75 years. All right? I shared this with you previously. Now, if a person in the U.S. lives for 75 years, it is likely that he will spend 23 years of his life sleeping. 75 years, and out of 75 years, he will spend 23 years sleeping. That constitutes 31% of his lifespan. Then he would have spent 19 years working. That would be about 25% of his lifespan. 9 years watching television or other amusements. I assume today it will be more than 9 years with the advent of computer games and other forms of entertainment. I think it's going to be more than 9 years. So it will be more than 12%. Then in dressing and personal care, 7.5 years. Can you imagine that? You spend 7.5 years of your life grooming yourself, dressing yourself. That constitutes 10%. Maybe that would be very conservative as some ladies, as far as some ladies are concerned. Then 6 years. 6 years of our lifespan spent eating. That would be about 8%. 6 years traveling. That would be 8%. And you know how much time we spend worshipping and praying? Only 0.5 years. And that is about 0.7%. And there are about 3 or 4% of our time which is unaccounted for. Friends, I think it is very, very wise of us if we were to sit back and make a review of the usage of our time, the amount of time that we spend worshipping the Lord and praying. Is inordinately small. If you take the 0.7% and work it out, on the average, you spend something like 10 minutes per day praying and worshipping the Lord. Now, is that good enough? 10 minutes per day worshipping the Lord and praying unto Him. My dear friends, if we are honest with ourselves and if we know God's word, we know that that is not enough, because God's word says what? Pray without ceasing. Pray 10 minutes per day? No, it's pray without ceasing. And in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And you know the word of God tells us in Romans 12:1 that we are to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And the word service may be interpreted as worship, which is our reasonable worship. My dear friends, surely 0.7% of our lifespan spent in worshipping and praying is grossly, grossly, grossly insufficient. We must spend more time. Now, how much time should we be spending worshipping and praying unto the Lord? It's between you and the Lord. Remember what He says. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And we are to present our bodies as living sacrifices unto Him, which is our reasonable service, our reasonable worship. So you know how much time you ought to be spending in worshiping and praying unto the Lord. Now we know that we have to use our time wisely. But the question is, how may we spend our time? Many of us are very busy. We've got so many things to do in a day. How can we make use of our time wisely so that we will have time to serve the Lord, time for other things, time for recreation and so forth? How should we organize our time? Now, I would like to recommend this to you, and I recommended it to you previously, but I'm going to recommend it to you again. Let's learn from people who are worldly wise, who are able to manage their time well. And it is good for us to be able to manage our time well. I'd like to suggest this to you. Before the day is out, list out the activities that you would be doing tomorrow, the next day. Right? It could be A, B, C, D, F, and so forth, a host of activities to do. And haven't you had this experience in the morning you wake up and say, oh, what am I to do? Where to start? And so forth. Right? We have that experience. But if you did this, every evening before you retire or at the close of the day, you list out what you want to do. Then, besides this list of activities, draw three columns. I suggest you draw three columns. Under the first, for the first column, put this heading, important. Second column, put this heading, urgent. Third column, put this heading, glorifying to the Lord. So you look at your first activity that you want to do, all right? Item A may not have the ranking of A, but item A on your list. And you see, you ask yourself, is it important? Yes, it is important. So you put a tick there. Is it urgent for you to do? Answer is yes. Put another tick. Glorifying to the Lord? Yes. So it's yes, yes, and yes. So, should you or should you not be doing that thing right away? Urgent, important, glorifying to the Lord. Answer is, yes, of course. We must do it right away. Alright, now let's look at another item on your list. Let's say that you look at it, it says important, so you could take important. But you look at the urgency, not so important. I don't have to do it within the next hour. Maybe not even today. I can do it tomorrow. Alright, so you say, not urgent, or not so urgent. Third column, you say, glorifying to the Lord. Yes, glorifying to the Lord. So you don't have to do it right away. But remember this, the thing that is not urgent now will grow in urgency. Remember this. Right now, not so important, but sometime down the road, it's going to be very, very urgent. So remember that. So keep your mind, remember this, remember this, so that when you have finished all the important urgent things, you can come back to this one. Then you go down the list. Alright, if it's unimportant, then you don't put a tick, or maybe you put a U there, unimportant. Urgent, yes, very urgent, so you put a tick. Now, is there such a thing as something as being very important or unimportant to you but very urgent? Is there such a thing? I say yes. Because you make them very urgent. For example, you want to participate in the post-Christmas sale. 4 a.m. in the morning, I must be in front of Myers, I must be in front of David Jones. So you make that very urgent for yourself, isn't it true? Not important, but you make it very urgent. So you wake up very, very early and you want to be sure that you are there. Unimportant, but urgent. Now you ask, third column, is it glorifying to the Lord? No, of course not. Unimportant, urgent, not glorifying to the Lord. Should you or should you not be doing it? The answer is no, of course. You should not be doing it. Alright? So there you are. You are able to rank the things that you want to rank. And you rank them that way. And you'll be very, very surprised if you organize your time that way. By the end of the day, you say, wow, I've managed my time well. I've still got spare time to do other things. Try that, my dear friends, and you'll find that you will be able to manage your time well. Learn good things from people who are worldly wise. Not all things done by worldly wise people are bad. Some things are good. Learn from them, and these are some of the good things that we can learn from them. Now I ask you, my dear friends, is doing your quiet time something important? Yes? Is it urgent? Yes, of course. The quiet time is urgent. You see, if you don't treat this as urgent, you won't do it. So you say it's urgent. Glorifying to the Lord? Yes. So important, urgent, glorifying to the Lord. So why stop doing it? Why hesitate doing it? Do it right away. Now coming to the house of the Lord to worship Him. Is it important? Yes. Urgent? Maybe not, because it's Monday. You see, Sunday is a few days away, so not so urgent. But on Saturday night, you better be sure that it is urgent, because next day you want to be sure that you're going to be at church early. So important, urgent, glorifying to the Lord, you do it. You see, you organize your time that way. Participating in the church prayer meeting, same thing. Important? Yes. Urgent? Yes, of course, we need to pray for the church. We need to pray for the well-being of the church. Mark is important, urgent, glorifying to the Lord, and you do it. Friends, what about giving the gospel out? Is it important? Yes. Urgent? Yes, because there are so many souls around us who are perishing without the Lord Jesus Christ. Urgent! We need to go out to them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us never think that it is not important. Yes, urgent to give the gospel out. This afternoon, we had a call from Brother Benson. Brother Benson told us a very sad story. All right, there was this friend of theirs, and this person that he was Benson was talking about is the brother of this friend of the ghost. This person was one of those five people who got drowned in the recent trip. I think five people were drowned, and he was one of the five people who got drowned. I think it was near the Bintang Island or something like that. Couldn't remember the exact place. But he drowned. Yes. Who was to know that he went for that holiday and he would drown? But he drowned. But thankfully, he came to trust the Lord Jesus Christ just, I think, on Christmas Eve. He came to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. As it were, he was saved out of the lion's mouth. But what if he did not hear the gospel? What if nobody gave him the gospel? That man would not have been saved. He would have been lost forever. So friends, let us remember, it is absolutely urgent that we give out the gospel to people. Don't think that we will be able to see that person again. Not necessarily. We may not be able to see that person again. Now, what about the talents that he has given to us? The abilities that he has given to us, the talents, the abilities. I'm looking at the letter A now. Now, what are we doing with our abilities? Now, if we sit down and are honest with ourselves, we have to acknowledge that all of us have at least one talent. Do you agree or do you not agree? At least one talent. All of us have at least one talent. And often it is not because we are not able to serve that we are not serving. It is because we are unwilling to serve. Not because we are not able to serve, but not willing to serve. Now, if you think that you don't have a talent big enough for you to serve, or you have only one talent, remember this boy. Remember this boy who was among the crowd, the 5,000 crowd that heard the Lord Jesus Christ preaching. Yes, he offered his 5 loaves and 2 fishes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, gave thanks for them, and produced food large enough, big enough, great enough to feed 5,000 people. And all because this boy was willing to offer his talent unto the Lord to bless others. My dear friends, surrender your talent to the Lord and see if the Lord will not make use of your talent to bless others. Now, over the years, I've seen in the church people who are not that talented, but people who are willing to surrender their talents to the Lord. And the Lord has been pleased to make use of their talents to bless other people. And not only has the Lord been pleased to use their talents to bless other people, the Lord in that course of time had also increased their talents. Yes, he made use of their talents and he also blessed them with increased talents. And I've seen that with my own eyes. And if you have been observant, you will recognize that also among people who were willing to offer their talents unto the Lord. Now, if we have the talents and don't use them, be warned, friends, be warned. Remember, we are stewards of the talents given to us. We are not our own. The talents that we have don't belong to us. They belong to the Lord. We are to make use of them. We are stewards. Remember that parable told by the Lord Jesus Christ. The master went on a long journey to a distant land. And before he left, he gave talents to his servants to make use of. To the first servant, 5 talents. To the second servant, 2 talents, and to the third servant, 1 talent. All the first 2 servants traded with the talents. The servant with the 5 talents used his talents and gained an additional 5 talents for his master. The second servant made use of his 2 talents and gained another 2 talents for his master. But the third servant did nothing to his talent. He went and hid his talent. On the day of reckoning, when the Lord came back, they were to give an account of the talents that they were given. The first servant gave his account. The Lord said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Yes, enter thou into the joy of the Lord." To the second servant, he said the same thing. He traded his two talents, gained another additional talents for the Lord. And the Lord said the same thing to him. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Be thou ruler over many things. You have been faithful over a few things, but be thou ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Then what about the third servant? The Lord said this to him. "Thou wicked and slothful servant. Thou wicked and lazy servant. You did nothing to the talent." And you know what happened? The Lord said, "Take him away." Yes, take him away and cast him into outer darkness, for there shall be weeping, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, does it not imply that this servant was actually not a servant at all? Yes, he thought he was a servant, but actually not a servant. He was cast into outer darkness, where he served, where he experienced weeping and gnashing of teeth for all eternity. Now, my dear friends, what kind of stewards are we? Yes. What kind of, how well have we been making use of our talents? Let us be sure, friends, that we make use of the talents that He has given to us. We have been appointed stewards of the talents that He has given us. Now, and as stewards, we have to exert our influence also. The Lord has given us the ability to influence. He has given us influence over other people. How well are we exerting our influence for good? How well are we exerting our influence to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ? How well are we influencing people to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we live unholy lives, we can be very, very sure that we are going to drive people away from the Lord. And they are going to see us as hypocrites. And friends, we will surely bring shame to the name of the Lord. So let us make use of the influence that we have to influence other people for the Lord Jesus Christ. About 200 years ago, there was this very humble village preacher. He never attended college. He never had a theological degree. But he was a faithful minister of the gospel. And in his congregation, there was a young man who was working as a cobbler. And this minister made sure that he had a great influence over that young cobbler. And you know what the young cobbler became? He became a great missionary. He was none other than William Carey, who became one of the great missionaries, one of the greatest missionaries in the modern era. He brought the gospel to India and won many Indians for the Lord Jesus Christ. And all because this village preacher was exerting that positive, holy influence on him. But you might say, "But I'm not a preacher. How can I influence people? How can I influence many people? How can I influence great people?" Now, before you come to the conclusion that you're not able to influence the people, let me draw your attention to this little girl, this little maiden, who was a little Jewish girl, brought into Israel, brought into the land of Syria by the Syrians. The Syrians and the Israelites were at war at that time. And this little girl was taken into captivity into Syria, and she worked as a slave girl to this general called Naaman. Now, Naaman was afflicted with a terrible disease. He suffered from leprosy. Now, this little Jewish girl one day told her mistress, the wife of Naaman, that there was a prophet in Israel who could heal Naaman if he went and saw him. And this prophet was, of course, none other than Elisha. Now, did Naaman take heed to what this little girl said? Yes, he did. Yes, this little girl had great influence over him. And so he heeded her advice and went to the land of Israel, where he received instruction from Elisha to dip himself 7 times into the river Jordan. Of course, at the beginning he was reluctant, but finally he did it. And he was healed by the Lord of his leprosy. So you see, this young Jewish girl, insignificant, small, but she had great influence. Yes, influence even over a general like Naaman. Let us never think that we are too small, too insignificant to exert any influence. No man is an island, my dear friends. We are relating with people all the time. You can never tell that if our small influence might make a great impact on other people to bring them to the Lord. Then as parents, you have great influence over your children. We heard this from Reverend Dr. Das Koshy this past week when he expounded from the book of Proverbs, the kind of influence parents have on their children. This man, Max Jukes, who lived about 1.5 centuries ago, Max Jukes lived in New York. Now, he did not believe in Jesus Christ. He did not have any kind of, he did not like any kind of Christian training. No belief in Christ, he didn't like Christian training. And he refused to bring his children to church when his children requested him to do so. Now in time, of course, he had his family and he had his descendants, something like 1,000 descendants from this man called Max Jukes. Now a study was made of his descendants. You know what happened? 300 of his descendants were sent to prison. 300, that would be about how many percent? 30% of his descendants went to prison and they served an average term of something like 13 years. 190 of them became prostitutes. That's about 20%. And about 700 of them became alcoholics. So, bad descendants, bad influence by Max Jukes. And his family cost the state millions and millions of dollars. Now, there was another man, Jonathan Edwards, who lived around the same time also. Yes, he lived in the same state as Jukes. He loved the Lord, and he saw to it that his children would go to church every Lord's Day, and he served the Lord with the best of his ability. He had something like 900 descendants. Now, of his 900 descendants, about 430, which means about half of them became ministers of the gospel. And about 86 of them, meaning to say about 10% of them, became university presidents, university chancellors. And about 75 of them authored good books. 5 of them were elected into the United States Congress, and 2 became senators, and 1 of his descendants became a vice president of the United States. His family didn't cost the state a single cent, and they contributed instead very positively and greatly to the life in America. My dear friends, what is your influence on others? What is your influence on your children? Never let us say that we are not exerting any influence. We are all exerting influences, because no man is an island. When we relate with other people, we are surely going to influence them. Somehow, my dear friends, let us influence them so that they will come to the Lord, or influence them so that they will grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me come to the final letter, the letter R. As stewards, we have our responsibilities. Do we realize that we have been given this greatest responsibility, the responsibility of warning people of eternal punishment and eternal hell? We have been given that responsibility. Now, did you remember the occurrence of SARS that took place at the beginning of the year 2003? Did you remember that? SARS. Yes, seemed like just a short while ago, but it was actually in the year 2003. SARS broke out at the beginning of the year, and it broke out in the southern part of China. But those in authority in southern China kept mum about it. Yes, they didn't breathe a word about it. Yes, because they were very, very fearful of political condemnation, and so they didn't let the world community know about the outbreak of SARS. But they knew that SARS was deadly and that it would spread very, very quickly. And SARS did spread very, very quickly, and it was deadly. It killed several hundred people in several countries. Surely those people who kept silence were responsible for the death of these people who died as a result of SARS. Now we have our responsibilities, my dear friends, And the greatest responsibility, as we said, is to obey the Great Commission, to share the gospel with people, to save them from eternal hell, to save them from eternal damnation. Now, will we be held responsible? I ask you, it's a very serious question. Will we be held responsible if we see people dying in their sins, heading for eternal hell, and we have the means of giving the gospel to them and we kept quiet about it? Will we be held responsible? The answer is yes, and I prove it to you from Holy Scriptures that we will be held responsible. I'll come to that. Now, but do we today sense the same kind of great responsibility as the great Apostle Paul did? Listen to what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'd like us to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16. Paul says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Yes, I'll be very, very miserable. Yes, very, very miserable, miserable, miserable indeed, if I preach not the gospel." So says the great Apostle Paul, because he sensed that he was highly responsible in preaching the gospel. Now let us be very, very clear about our responsibility in warning people about hell and eternal damnation. The Lord expects us to hold this responsibility. I'd like us to turn to Ezekiel, and look at Ezekiel 33. Alright, it's in your program sheet. Ezekiel 33. Alright, and verse 1. "Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast, and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet made by the watchman, and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword coming, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, Ezekiel, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." So, my dear friends, are we not held responsible if we see people dying without the gospel and do not care to share the gospel with them? Yes or no? Then what blood will be required at our hands? So says the Lord. So let us not play the fool. Let's understand this truth. We have a very, very grave responsibility, yes, to share the gospel with people. Let us take heart to God's, take heed to what the Lord says. Yes, let us not be negligent in sharing the gospel with others. Now think of this acronym again, STAIR, S-T-A-I-R. We are to give an account of our stewardship. One day, all of us, my dear friends, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, shall have to stand before the Lord to give an account of what we did for Him. We belong to Him. We are stewards. All the things that He has given to us belong to Him. They do not belong to us. We will have to give an account of all the talents, the time, the ability, and the influence and the responsibilities that He has given to us. How well, my dear friends, are we managing our time? Are we spending only 10 minutes per day to worship the Lord and to pray unto Him? When He says, pray without ceasing, In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. When he says to us, present your bodies as a living sacrifice unto the Lord, for this is only your reasonable service, your reasonable worship. Now for 2011, I'd like to make this recommendation to you. If you are complaining that you do not have time for this, no time for that, you are very busy, take a sheet of paper every day before the close of the day. Do what I recommended for you to do. List out all your activities. Draw your three columns. Column number one, important. Column number two, urgent. Column number three, glorifying to the Lord. If it is yes, 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 do those things right away. If it is yes, second column, no, yes, third column, yes, you can hold on a little bit. First column, no, yes, yes, no, first column, no, second column, yes, third column, no, don't do it at all. Not important. Don't do it. Don't waste your time. And then, friends, identify the abilities that the Lord has given to you. Make use of them for His service. Let us never say that if we don't have any talent. We have. I think we'll be very dishonest to say that we don't have any talent. We have. The Lord has given us talent to serve Him. And the Lord has given us the ability to influence other people also. Let us exert our influences on other people to draw them closer to the Lord. And if you are parents, you have this grave responsibility to influence them well for the Lord. And remember this, you are not going to influence only your next generation, but generations after them also. Finally, think of the responsibilities that have been given to us as stewards. And the greatest responsibility, my dear friends, is to save souls from hell and from eternal damnation. It is our responsibility to it, the Lord to do it. The Lord has given us this great commission. Yes, go and tell. Be witnesses unto me. In the new year, my dear friends, let us pray that the Lord will give us this grace to become good stewards for Him. Tonight at the close of the year, let us make this resolution. I pray that you will make this resolution. Lord, I want to be a good steward for you in the next year. I want to be a good steward of time, a good steward of my abilities, a good steward of the influences that you have given me to be able to exert, and a good steward of the responsibilities that you have given me to discharge. Amen. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercies towards us. Thank you for your goodness towards us in the course of this last year. O Lord, as we look forward to the year 2011, we pray, O Lord, that we may all be willing to make this resolution this evening, that we be good stewards for you, good stewards of time, good stewards of our talents, good stewards of our influences, and good stewards of our responsibilities. O Lord, help us and give us the strength to do well for you, so that on the day when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we may be able to give a good account of ourselves and be able to hear you say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.